Welcome to the Yacht Rock Show with your captain, Eddie Gans, with First Mate Joe Carlisle and Samir at the wheel. And here's your host, Eddie Gans.
Yeah, see, I knew it. If I tried to get you right before it happened, you wouldn't do it.
I wasn't going to do it anyway.
You're dying to do it. Nah. What were you going to do instead?
No, I was just going to say, hey, guys.
There you go.
You know, it's Eddie Gans here. Your captain, Eddie Gans, with my first mate, good friend, Mr. Joe Carlisle.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Carlisle.
And we are the Yacht Rock Show. So the Yacht Rock Show is going to be a little interesting, a little different as of starting on this episode.
Yeah, under construction.
We're going to talk about this. Well, I say we dive right in and talk about what it's right. Why? First of all, it has to do with copyrights.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can hear underneath us right there.
Right.
Is John Mayer's latest. And the reason we're playing that is...
Well,
because he's
John
jumping
Mayer,
on the 80s, the yacht rockish sounding kind of thing. I mean, it's not super yacht rock, but people are comparing this to, like, Africa.
Uh-huh.
Because he's got the Prophet 5 synthesizer with Rick Fillinghame's playing it.
Yeah.
And,
but I tell you, it's got... It's definitely got the 80s feel, which is good enough for me.
Oh my God, the look of the album artwork, he's really tongue-in-cheek in this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's called Sob Rock. It's his, well, it's this the title is, of the album, but he's actually, he's, I think he's trying to create a new genre based off of yacht rock.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, he was saying that this is his comfort music. When he wants to feel safe, and yeah, I read about this. And this is his comfort music. Okay, well, this is the music he grew up with.
It makes him feel safe. Sounding like Africa? I hear something, but I'm not sure Africa is the song that they think they're hearing in this. Samir said it sounds like Africa.
It sounds
right,
like Africa.
Right, so there is
some. Yeah.
I guess it's the Prophet 5.
Yeah. I mean, the synthesizers sound.
Yes.
It reminds,
yes.
Even Trev Lukather on Twitter. Listen, even on Twitter.
Samir, you might have to make your mic hot because you like the comments you're making. I think everybody else would like them too. Samir refuses to come on air, but we're going to try to change that with this new format.
That would be nice. But Trev Lukather, Steve Lukather's son, was comparing it. And he said that he references the synthesizers and the guitar work. But yeah, there are similarities, without a doubt. You know?
You think he was inspired by or pressured by the idea that Weezer had a big deal, made a big deal out of doing the Africa cover? And he was like, I want a part of that. He should have did that.
Maybe.
Because he's big on that. He's done, like, I think he did Eddie Van Halen's guitar solo on a cover of Beat It for another group. I don't know the name. Some, you know, some 20-somethings modern group. And he was the guest. Like, Eddie Van Halen was the guest on Beat It. John Mayer was the guest on their cover of Beat It. And then he's done Panama. So he's done, obviously, a big Van Halen. But he probably made him green with envy that he didn't think of doing the Weezer thing. He probably wanted to cover out.
That's true. You're right. Well, listen, you and I have been talking about it. Remember you were saying you'd love to hear him do Bluer Than Blue?
Oh, God. If anybody knows John Mayer, well, I'm kind of like 2 degrees separated from John Mayer. But I could, I'd love to get that to him, that he would sound great on Bluer Than Blue.
Well,
so that's it. We talked through the whole tune. It's pretty short.
That was pretty cool. You see?
Unless did Samir fade it? Did you fade it?
No. The song is pretty short. But I'll tell you, folks. So what I was trying to say is that from now on, only because of copyright laws, that we can't play full songs by themselves. If that and the purpose and the thing is this, that we have Atlantic Coast FM now,
and that's why that was created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it would defeat the purpose, right, Joe, to be playing it here and then risking getting dropped, because that's what happened with Spotify. We got dropped from Spotify because somebody caught on. I don't want that to happen anymore. I want to keep it cool so that we don't have that problem. So that's why we're going to do it like this from now on, and I think it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll be us, you know, just brainstorming on all this stuff. But there's another one. So here's another one that I want to play. From Bring It On, Samir. It's a New Light.
Oh yeah, that's been out already for a couple of months.
Has it really? Well, okay.
Yeah, somebody was complaining that he he released a lot of these tracks already, but they're appearing on the full release of the album. So people are like, you're getting kind of like half an album fresh.
Well,
and
he's
the other
giving,
half was released in dribs and drabs over the course of the last 2 years.
He gave like an EP. Right now on YouTube, there's an EP. Or if you go on Apple, yeah. I think there's like four songs. And I think we're going to play...
Do you think New Light is a little bit in the Yachty realm?
There's one that... It might be New Light or Carry Me Away. Yeah. See this?
Oh, yeah. That sounds...
This is definitely more Yachty.
That's more soft yacht.
Yeah.
That's a term we've created. Just,
that's
just
right.
Lest anyone think that anybody else came up with that phrase. You know, Riznar and his guys, all they came... Of course, they came up with Yacht Rock. But Eddie and I are here to tell you that we coined the term soft yacht. So anything that doesn't fall, anything that falls below like 50 on the yacht scale, we're going to, you know, something that you think would be swimming in the waters with Yacht Rock.
But, that's right.
We're going to call that soft yacht.
There you go. And you heard it first.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Before everybody starts stealing it.
That's right. You heard it first on the Yacht Rock Show. Okay? So
this is more soft yacht.
Yeah. This one definitely has that, you know.
It's like reminiscing would be soft yacht, right?
So reminiscing is on the boat, but it's, you know.
Now,
but
why
it's...
is reminiscing on the boat and it doesn't have a lot of the elements or criteria of like doobie bounce and roads?
Yeah.
Well, it does have a road.
Yeah, the road. You know what it is too, Joe? You got to remember probably the chord changes. And
there's a lot of stuff that they just throw in the garbage that should be. And
right.
That's why we wanted to create a new category. And it's soft yacht. For like, give me an example of soft yacht that they don't consider. Like anything America. They don't like America.
Al Stewart.
Al Stewart, right. Year of the Cat.
Year of the Cat.
That's soft yacht to me.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why it's great that on Atlantic Coast FM, we play a great mixture of the yacht, the soft, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful mix. A little bit of disco. It's great.
Yeah, I remember this. So, my girlfriend was actually grooving on this for the last year.
So this has been out for a while. Oh, yeah,
at least the last, before COVID, I think.
Oh, okay.
He released this. Or there was another one that he released early on.
That's right. That's right. He's been sitting on it. The album is done. He's been sitting on it.
Yeah, he released, like I said, but that's what you do now. I mean, he still couldn't help himself. He wanted to release. I think he's even releasing cassettes. You know that?
Is he really?
Yeah, with that Columbia. Remember the font that Columbia would use on the spine of a cassette?
Yeah.
It would have that red font. It was all the same font. It was red. And he's
right.
Even doing that. If you look on his website, I think there's he's got a cassette. Unless somebody just drew that up as a goofy thing, but I think he's releasing cassettes. Good luck finding a cassette player, everybody, if you get that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. You go on eBay and you buy a cassette machine, but who the hell's gonna buy it?
You might create a new one.
I used to have one. I used to have a cassette player, but I wouldn't bother with that for now, you know. But this, I like it, man. So far, there's only one song that's real. The lyrics are killer.
Only one? He's usually quite poetic. I mean, really smart.
No, the lyrics are all great on all of these, but...
Right,
you know what I mean? But there's one that really touches me. I love what he has to say. It's called I Guess I Just Feel Like.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah, he's always got one or two on the album that are kind of buried. They never really become hits. Super poetic. I mean, there was one on Continuum called Stop This Train that just kills me. Beautiful song. You got to check that out. The lyrics are amazing.
I
showed that to you.
Yeah, you did.
And then on the Born and Raised album, he had a one called, really interesting story called Walt Grace's Submarine Test. And the story is really cool. Again, he's very poetic. The kid's a poet.
I really
appreciate him.
No, I've liked, I tell you, ever since he came out, I've been a fan.
Yeah, he's no flash in the pan. He's no joke. Yeah. He can play guitar.
Oh.
He really could play guitar. The kid can
write. Yeah. Oh, he's a serious guitar player.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to play another track from his album. It's called Carry Me Away.
He owes you something.
Throw that on. Well, you never know, bro.
Owes you something. You're going to have to hashtag him when you post this.
Hey, we may get... I do. I tag him all the time. We never know. We may get him on when we launch on the radio.com. So you never know. I'm such a bummer. I'm hoping for that. So this is Carry Me Away. Yeah.
So he's got different players here. I mean, like, for a long time, he had Steve Jordan and Pino Palladino. And now he's back to Sean Hurley, who's a, you know, L.A. staple. And, you know, he's had Sean Hurley on and off in between Pino and Steve. Jordan was replaced by, I think, Aaron Sterling is his name, the drummer. So they've kind of been doing that. I don't know what happened to that first bass player that he had. There's a guy he had on the first album. I actually liked what he was doing. I'm wondering if that was really him or if maybe Pino was ghosting, because the guy kind of disappeared. And I was assuming the guy really played.
Right.
He had really great lines, but now when I come to think of it, I liked the lines so much on those first few albums. Possibly could have been somebody ghosting. The guy disappeared. If the guy was that good, he'd still be working. And I don't know. His name's escaping me, and I feel bad. Let me just go do a search so I don't insult the guy profoundly.
So, Joe, what does sob rock mean?
Well, you can only... It's pretty self-explanatory. I'm assuming it's like sad rock. You know what I mean? Stuff that makes you feel sad. I did look up the definition because I think it's already in the Urban Dictionary. I'm sure he coined it.
I don't know. I don't know if he coined it, but... he was. I was reading up on that. It's like a comforting songs for him. Better the '80s stuff for him. But this is very comforting. It was music he grew up. He grew up listening.
We all go down that road. We all do that. I miss what I had when I was a kid. And even in some of his songs, I remember he has that album Luther Square that all those hits came off of, like Your Body's a Wonderland and all that stuff. He has a line in one of the songs.
Body's
a Wonderland. I'm going to say maybe is that. Oh man, I'm going to really be off.
Joe, was that
2004? Maybe
was that his debut?
It may have been his debut. I mean, he had something. He had an EP before that, and I think Room for Squares was his real breakthrough. You know, into the mainstream. But like I said, Body's a Wonderland. That's right. She's the biggest John. Oh yeah, yeah. Daughters. The song was called Daughters. Daughters. Be good to your daughters. But on that same album, he's so nostalgic all the time that he had some line. I remember I told you about that. You liked it too. He said, "Whatever happened to my lunchbox?" in one of the songs.
Right.
When he was a kid. Remember I told you about that? Back then, I knew he was super nostalgic. So it was a matter of time before he did something that you know reflects this, like this '80s love. So Dave Laborier was the bass player I was thinking of before.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah, and he's somewhat disappeared, I think. I don't see anything from him. He should have been playing with a ton of people. I loved his lines on those first albums. He's the bass player on Room for Squares with all those hits that came off of. Then I think after that was Continuum? Or no, Heavier Things came next.
Oh, yeah?
And that was also Dave Laborier. He's had great songs on those first two albums, the Room for Squares and Heavier Things. But yeah, there was like an EP before those. So there you go, John Mayer. You got some love tonight on the Yacht Rock Show. Three tunes.
Big time. The new album. Yeah, there's another song. We're not going to play it, though, but it's a great one, folks. I just want to bring it up. It's called I Guess I Just Feel Like. Check it out. It strikes me it's all about the COVID, you know, the lyrics. It's just very interesting the way he's talking about in this song.
Yeah, if you're listening to John Mayer and you're just listening to the music and not paying attention to lyrics, you're really getting half the story because he really is profound.
You're right. You're right. Definitely.
All right, so what do you got now? We're moving away from John?
Yeah, we're moving away from John. Yeah, that's it. Now, this is something really – this is really interesting. This is Cliff Richard from 1983. The song is called Never Say Die, Give a Little Bit More. And it is yachty as hell. A Yacht Rock Show discovery. That's right. That's playing on Atlantic Coast. Check this out.
What is it called again?
It's called Never Say Die, Give a Little Bit More. This is from 1983. The album is called Silver. Making his 25th, that was his 25th anniversary of music back in 83. Wow, huh? Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was a heartthrob back in the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you, he still looks good. He's like 80 years old. Something like that. This is very yachty. Huh?
Yeah, that is pretty yachty.
Right?
So is our friend on this one, the bass player I always love that plays on all those other tunes?
Yeah, interesting. Let's check that out. Let's see if personnel. Well, production. What is the production? Let's see. producer. There's several. Several producers. Craig Pruitt, Terry Britton. That's a familiar one. Terry Britton, Mike Batt, and Bruce Welch.
So that guy, yeah, he's not on there. I forget who that is.
Now, mind you, this album did nothing in the States. In the United States and Canada, the album was released by EMI under the title Give a Little Bit More. It had a rearranged list order, a cover of Richie Valens' song Donna, but it did nothing. In the UK, it did well.
Right, he's huge.
Yeah, in the UK, yeah.
Not the 50s and 60s. He's gonna be huge.
No. But, yeah, this is really yachty. I love this. Feel the, I love bat, 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 all the breaks. Really cool. It's like he Cliff Richard goes disco almost. You know what I mean? He was definitely influenced by Michael Jackson at this point. The Thriller album. Hear that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right? But it doesn't say. It doesn't say who's playing on this show, right?
Any, 83.
Yeah, 83. Any personnel? This is probably recorded in the.
Alan Tarney was the guy.
Yeah.
He's the one that's on those hits from the late 70s. Actually played bass on him. I love his bass parts.
Yeah, he's great.
It's so funny. We don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
You know, every time that comes on, you know, I'm always like, wait, we gotta hear it.
Yeah,
I love his bass part on it. I was under contact with him, complimenting him.
Is he still active, Alan Tarney?
He does have a production company. I think he's Australian as well. Isn't Cliff Richard Australian? No, he's British.
No, he's British. Yeah.
So what's the name of the album that this comes from?
Silver. No, you don't see it, no?
Yeah, I got it. It's coming
up. I'm telling you, like I said, it's the album reached number 7 in the UK. That's it. And here it did not do a thing. But cool, that's a cool one, folks. For you yachty, for the yacht rockers out there that are always looking for, well.
Yeah, I like when you bring new stuff to the table. That's what we love doing.
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff I've been throwing on Atlantic Coast. But yeah, now the opportunity is perfect here for us to go over all these new songs, you know.
New songs? So, where's your head at?
New thongs. I know, right? So now next? we're going to move on to Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ronnie Millsap. I'm talking about Stranger in My House. It's from the 1983 album Keyed Up. Yep.
And you love those crossovers, right? Those country crossovers.
Yes, I do.
What's the other one he has that you always play?
I play several. I play
I
Wouldn't Have Missed It for the World.
Oh, of course.
That one. And Any Day Now.
Right.
And there's No Getting Over Me. That one. There's three that I play. Now, this album has this one. Stranger in My House is pretty yachty. And with the, it's got a nasty guitar solo, too. A lot of people love this song. I've gotten a great response from playing this. I love this. Of course, this was a tremendous, you know, another one of his crossover, country pop crossovers from the early 80s, you know?
Also from 1983.
Yeah, from 83. The album is called Keyed Up. Ronnie Millsap. Love Ronnie. Ronnie always is a big fan of soul music. That's so obvious.
It is obvious.
And he's done, he did a duet with Patti LaBelle. It's not on this album, though. I've always loved this song. Very cool. Love it. Who's on this show?
Let's see. I'm trying to get a version that's giving me a lot of credits.
She's staring out the window. producers, Tom Collins.
Yeah, Tom Collins. But he was drunk half the time. And they didn't even name the drink after him. That's how associated with alcohol Tom Collins. Now, I'm kidding, of course. Tom Collins is still with us. Just joking.
They're talking about his 35th single to be the song immediately became a major hit. Peaked at number 5 with an adult contemporary, of course. The song features a rock guitar solo by Bruce Dees. Bruce Dees. Does that ring a bell, Bruce Dees?
Yeah, but the producers, and this had to be a Nashville production, right? Nashville was up and running. It was a big deal in the early 80s. Sounds like they were just trying to tap into whatever was...
Oh, look at that. Look how funny. It says here that the song features a rock guitar solo by Bruce Dees. Some country stations edited the solo out of the song. Can you believe that?
They always did that. You remember that.
Yeah. And a station in Denver.
There it is.
No, there it is. It is. A station in Denver, Colorado refused to play the song because its personnel opined that the song sounded like a Led Zeppelin song. Is that crazy?
This song sounds like Led Zeppelin.
How could this sound like Led Zeppelin? That's pretty crazy. Look at that.
Low threshold for hard rock.
I'm telling you. Remember, this was 83, 84. That particular airplay loss from the Denver station likely kept the song from peaking at number 1. Believe that? Yeah.
So I thought you were going to play some stuff from, should I mention the guy we were supposed to have on as an interview this week or may have soon? Because I wanted you to play his first album. No. You got to see this cool stuff on it. I won't say anything now, but it'll be obvious when we do it.
Yeah.
His first solo album, he's got a lot of reality stuff. We're going to have to really delve into it.
Oh, we will.
Now that we got everybody on the edge of their seat, you'll have to tune in next week to find
out. That's right. So, folks, that was Ronnie Millsap, Stranger in My House, from the album Keyed Up. Excellent song. You can hear it on cool. Atlantic Coast FM. We're moving on now. Here's another Yachty discovery. I'm talking about Marty Balin. Marty Balin had an album in 83 was a hot year, man, for all these guys. Marty Balin had an album that, I don't know, it did something. It wasn't a total, how can I say? It wasn't a huge success, but the album was called Lucky.
What's the name of the song?
The name of the song is Will You...
Because it sounds like Samir's having a hard time finding it.
Will You Forever. It's Will You Forever, Samir. Yeah.
Well, Marty Balin doesn't get a lot of love over here in this household. I mean, myself and my significant other, she doesn't really like Hearts. She doesn't like that song when it comes on.
Oh, I tell you, that song
is not a fan of Hearts. Yeah. I know you love it. You love Marty.
Yeah,
Balin. But Marty Balin was in a group, though. Wasn't he in a group at some point?
Marty Balin was in Jefferson Starship.
He was in Jefferson Starship.
He sang Miracles. That song. How does that go again?
Only you believe
in miracles.
That song? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sure she likes that. So I'll spell turn her on to that and she'll be a change.
Hey, listen. Turned on to him. Listen to how Yachty this is.
Yeah. When love is true, never fades away.
This is from the album Lucky. Released in 83 on EMI. But you see, it even said the album did not fare as well as the previous one. And only rose to 156 on the Billboard chart. Look at that. As a subtle tribute to Balin's friend and former bandmate Jack Cassidy, he recorded a cover of Heart of Stone. I see. Interesting. And let me tell you.
So what is the connection between Jefferson Starship and the Jefferson Airplane? Is there any? Were there people that kind of went through both of those bands?
I think there was definitely a lot of band personnel changes, right?
No, I'm saying, but Jefferson Starship with Ray Slick and then eventually in the 80s, what's his name?
Mickey Thomas.
Now, is there a connection? I mean, I should know this, but is there a connection between the airplane and the starship? I think there is. Like, some guys were, like, you know, intersected between those two groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I think it morphed into a Jefferson Starship. Right.
Right.
And then eventually it just became Starship, right?
Right. Yes, in the 80s.
Right.
With what was the song? Oh, man, that great song. Sarah. Remember Sarah?
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful song. Sarah. Maybe we could play that. Throw that on. That's Soft Yacht almost. Throw that on Atlantic Coast.
Yeah, I could throw that on, sure. Also, it had We Built This City. Remember that?
Yeah.
That album's called Knee Deep in the Hoopla.
Right. Because that's in We Built This City. That's a lyric on We Built This City. Knee Deep in the Hoopla.
Right.
Somebody on the radio. We Built This City.
But yeah, man, this is a very yachty discovery. Well, you know, it's no secret that Marty Balin was into soul R&B also, you know. You could hear it.
I'm sorry. Grace Slick was in the band since 1966.
Yeah. Bro, she must be in her...
White Rabbit, I forgot. Right, she's on right. White Rabbit and all that.
Hey, Joe, how old is she?
She was the common denominator.
She must be... Grace Slick must be, like, what, 80-something? No?
Yeah, let's see.
Right?
Born in 39, so she's not much younger than my parents. 81. She's 81
years old. 81. Wow. Yeah. I knew it, bro, because back in the 80s, she was no spring chicken.
Right. She was already.
Right?
Yeah. She was already.
She was 40-something.
Mm-hmm. With that, that's 85 that came out around that time.
Yeah.
Knee deep in the hoop. What happened to Mickey Thomas?
Now Mickey Thomas is—he's still around. He's kicking. They're touring. I heard, and he sounds amazing. He's still singing the songs, in the same keys.
Good for him.
That's rare.
Yes.
That is rare. Well, folks, we're gonna move on. The next.
Go ahead.
The next artist that we're moving on to. This is a real special treat. I'm talking about Paul Carrack.
Oh boy.
Paul Carrack, Joe, had an album in 1980. Called Nightbirds. Check it out. And we're gonna play from there, Samir. Let's find Bet You Never Been in Love. That's one. I found three possibly yachty tunes off of Nightbirds.
This
is Bet You Never Been in Love.
Okay.
And this is his debut album. Listen to that. Listen to how yachty this is. This came out, Joe. You know what year this came out?
1980.
Bingo.
I'm looking at it.
Shortly after Carrack's tenure with Roxy Music. Did you know he was with Roxy Music?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this bass, Alan Spener. Look at that. Remember I asked? Who did I ask? We were interviewing somebody. Oh, it was Dane Donahue, and he was involved in Jesus Christ Superstar, and I asked him if he knew the name Alan Spener. Alan Spener was actually the guy who did the touring company, or he was the guy in the pit or on stage. I guess they had a band. They had their own dedicated band for Jesus Christ Superstar. He was in the original production, Alan Spener.
Oh, yeah.
And I
remember
Dane Donahue was involved in that, and I mentioned the name, but he didn't have any association with the original cast.
Wow.
But yeah, look at this. Tim Renwick. Neil Hubbard on guitar.
Andy Newmark.
Yeah, Andy Newmark. I know that.
Okay, yeah. Guy Barker, don't know. Mel Collins, horns.
Yeah, he has some sort of like, I think he always wanted to be in the Average White Band or something.
Oh, he should have been, yeah.
He loves all those guys, Hamish Stewart. He may have had some sort of connection with those guys.
Absolutely. But check this out. This album, it's funny. I discovered this album just maybe last year.
You haven't talked to Paul in a while. He gave us some IDs way back.
I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I will. He's got a new album out, by the way.
Oh, that'll be nice. Maybe get him on. We'll talk to him.
Absolutely. So you know what's funny?
That's very nice.
Joe, that shortly after this album was released, Carrick joined Squeeze.
Oh, right. Right.
You know? So I guess this album just got lost in the shuffle. It's funny. He went to Squeeze, but then he left. Right, he went to Squeeze.
Yeah, but he made his mark. He's the voice on I Got a Toothbrush.
Yeah, Tempted.
Yeah, oh my God. He's
tempted by the fruit of another.
Anybody know a more classic Squeeze song?
What a great song.
Pulling Muscles, maybe.
Oh, yeah. So this album is very good, folks. I'll tell you, check it out. It's hard to find, but it is so good. Love it. What a gem. What a find. And Yachty as hell. This is Yachty. What a discovery. I'm like, I got to pat myself on the back. This is so friggin' Yachty.
Yeah, you definitely dig deep.
I've been digging. Very nice. Oh, I love it. Paul, he's a very soulful. He's a soulful
always.
Guy.
Well, he's a Hammond player, right? He's a Hammond organ guy.
Yeah,
you know he loves that soul. I mean, he's probably a big fan of what's his name? Why is it escaping me? The guy Valerie, who did the song Valerie in the 80s.
Oh, Steve Winwood.
Steve Winwood. Why? I'm so ashamed that I forgot.
Folks, you got Joe. We got to. That's all right. We got to play another one. Here's another one from that album, from Nightbirds. It's Nightbirds, sorry. And it's called You Belong With Me. Check this one out. This is really, really cool. I'm digging this. Again, this album, it's a shame. It's probably, that nothing happened with this thing. Listen to this. The Rhodes. Big-time Rhodes on this. But listen to that. Big time Rhodes. What happened? Disappeared? There it is.
That's nice.
Isn't that nice? This is Yachty as hell.
That's very nice.
Right? Woo! It's funny because, Paul, man, he was in a couple of bands. The first band was Ace.
Right, we all know that. What was the Ace tune? Sing it.
How long?
Yeah.
Right? Which is On the Boat.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Then he moved from there to then the Roxy Music thing happened, right?
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
And then into Squeeze, like we said, from 80-81.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they know him from, Mike and the Mechanics in the 80s with that the song The Living Years. That was him in there, too.
That was huge. Oh, that was huge. That went straight to number one.
Yeah. Remember that song?
Yeah, beautiful. Reminds me of when you and I were working at Buck Seifert and Joe's. It was around that time, wasn't it, Joe?
I'm sure it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Late 80s,
wasn't that maybe 89 or something?
Yeah, I think
like
89.
That. Right?
And then in May 96, he did that great album that we love, Blue Views, and not get enough of that album.
Yeah.
We love that album.
Yeah. Blue Views has a
eyes
wanna know how does it feel behind those eyes of blue.
Yeah. Beautiful song.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, reminds me of, what's that, the Elton John one that we play.
Blue eyes.
Kind of like a take.
Baby's got blue eyes. Well, this is killer. There's another one on this. Yeah, there's another one on this. We're not going to play it, but check it out. It's called Love Is All It Takes.
Yeah, he doesn't disappoint.
No, he doesn't disappoint. So this is killer. And by the way, folks, you can catch all of these tunes on Atlantic Coast FM, okay? Loving this, though. Rhodes galore. Well, this is during the time, let's be real. I mean,
it was the keyboard.
It was the keyboard, especially until 1984.
Why, you're saying that there's an actual marked moment in history where it actually fell out of favor?
Yeah, when did the DX7 come out?
Oh, you're right. Well, that's, I think DX7 was 87. No, a little earlier than that. You're right. 85, 86? DX7?
So let's say that the Rhodes...
But it's not that the DX7 had a sound that replaced the Rhodes. It had a sound that became the new sound of the hits.
Ah-ha! Bingo. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Good point, Joe.
Okay, now, what is everybody trying to do? Get the plugins that sound like the Rhodes, and the Rhodes is back. Yeah. Full force. No, everybody's playing the Rhodes. Snarky Puffy. All those old new groups.
Don't forget the CP80, the Yamaha.
Oh, right.
Or the CP70. There was the 70.
You had the
70,
right?
I still have it.
You still have the 70. Yeah.
Yep.
And you just got rid of your Rhodes. You had that beautiful Rhodes.
Got a beautiful Rhodes for a while. Yeah.
It was a suitcase 88 you had.
I don't know. I don't think it was 88. I think it was a 73.
Okay, it was a suitcase.
It was a suitcase.
Speaker attached.
I didn't need it. It was sitting there.
I wish you would have kept it because I need it.
Yeah. Do you?
Oh, I'd love to have another Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. But it went to a good place.
Yeah, it did. It went to that rental place.
That's right.
He says, the guy actually picked it up. He said, your Rhodes will probably be on the Grammys this year.
Isn't that something?
Because it was all refurbished. You had it all redone and all. It was really beautiful. So he said they'll probably show up on the Grammys this year. They rent from us all the time.
Look at that. That's great. So, yeah, folks, that is Nightbird album by Paul Carrack. His debut album. A lot of people don't know this album. It was from 1980. Check it out when you get a chance. All right, we're going to move on.
Or if you're from New York, it's Nightboyd.
Nightboyd. We're going to move on now. We're going to do something current, some modern yacht. We're talking about... Yeah, Young Guns, Silver Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And the song
Who's talking
called
about that?
Kids.
Was it Ali Baroud was telling you about that?
Ule Baroud was talking about it. Yeah. Kids is a great one. There it is.
Look at that. So how new is this?
This came out earlier this year, I believe. Let's check it out.
Are they from the Netherlands?
I don't think so. I think they're from the States.
What are they called?
Young Gun Silver Fox musical group. There it is. Yeah. They've got a couple of albums out. If you're not aware, they've got a couple of albums. You know what? These guys.
Oh, right, I know these guys. It's the one guy, the older guy with the long gray hair. Yes. I remember these guys.
Great song.
What album is this from?
Canyons.
What's that? Canyons.
Canyons? The kids.
It's from the album Canyons.
Yeah. No, it's called Young Gun Silver Fox. Guys are good. I like these guys.
Yeah, actually, they might be. I think one of the guys is from the Netherlands and one guy is from LA.
Yeah.
But the releases are only like in Europe. They don't have an American release. Nobody's signing it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Getting that, just...
All right, so Canyons came out. I think it came out late 2020. But this album is slamming. The album, they're all great, but this one really, really yachty. Got another song, the Baby Girls. And Dream Woman. Whoa. Really yachty stuff. Love these guys.
Oh, my God. It's on this, on one of these tunes, they actually describe the keyboards used, because I guess it's a big deal because they were vintage.
Yeah, of course.
There's a Seal DK80. S-I-E-L was a keyboard company, and I remember the guy I played in the band with. He had a Seal. He had bought a Seal. I never saw it before. I never saw it since. And here they mention a Seal keyboard.
Really?
It must be vintage. Yes, from the DK80. I wonder if that was the one he had. Of course, Roland's. Some kind of DX. Maybe a new DX. Is it a new DX? DX21. I wonder if that's. I don't think that's brand new. So these two guys, I don't know what they don't really give their names. There's just initials here, AP and SL. I don't know what they go by. Do you have any info on the actual members of Young Gun Silver Fox?
Well, they, you know, first of all, these guys, singer-songwriter, Andy Platts.
Andy Platts.
Is from California.
Okay.
While the other multi-instrumentalist, Sean Lee, hails from London.
Okay. No American connection. Oh, well, except for LA. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I thought you said he's from LA. I thought you said he was from the Netherlands.
And it's funny. That's say, yeah, that for that, I think, yeah, did I throw another one of their songs in? Baby Girl, did I throw that in? I don't know if I did or not. I don't know if it's in there. Check it out, Samir. Not sure. Kids. Oh, Dream Woman. Play Dream Woman. Wait till you hear this one.
Oh, that's the one with the steel keyboard.
Yeah, this is very yachty. Check this out. See that? Big time. So these guys are big yacht rockers.
There's a little Earth, Wind, and Fire going on there.
Yeah.
Right? Hear the Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Big time.
Kumar, remember the Kumar keyboard?
Of course.
Yeah, they got one of those on there, the multi-band.
You know, this song, Dream Woman, sounds a little bit like Ule Barut type of yacht, right?
Well, that's why he suggested it.
Yeah.
he's a little narcissistic, so he's, you guys got to check out these guys.
Yeah, that's funny. It's really good. I love this.
Yeah, this is a little awesome. Ule, Ule. He still can't say it. Ule, Ule.
Ule Barut.
Still one of our favorites. Got any Ule Barut for tonight?
No, not for tonight. No, but we will. We'll dive into his stuff again. We have to.
That might have been who. That wasn't who. Remember Jay Gruska last week was saying you guys were going nuts on somebody. You were playing the tunes. Could it have been Ollie Thompson? It could have been Ollie Thompson. Remember?
Maybe
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, of course. But maybe he was talking about Ule Barut.
No, but I mentioned that. He said no, but I'm thinking further back that we played the songs, even though we did interview Ollie Thompson, we were playing the songs like maybe two or three back-to-back and raving about it. That's what he said we were doing at this episode he was referencing. So I think I'm thinking maybe Ollie Thompson, which, you know, come on. Uh-huh. Black comedy and blue.
Black comedy?
Aqua Blue, sorry. Think with all this music in my head.
That's funny. But yeah, these guys, if you guys want to know, Young Gun Silver Fox, they have, I believe it's three or four albums, right? How many albums they got? Let's check it out.
Yeah, it's about four.
Four albums, okay. And they got another one, a great song, Take It or Leave It, which I play also on Atlantic Coast. A bunch of songs that we play from them. Guys are great.
They have three full lengths, and then they have a couple singles and EP, a couple EPs.
Okay.
What's funny is I'm seeing that the format, the format on a couple of them is, says CDR. You know what that means? I think they're burning it. They're burning it, and they're mailing it to you if you order it.
No.
That's how small the operation is. Nah. Yeah, CDR. What do you think CDR means?
No, I know, but they do that on Amazon, Joe.
Oh, they burn them as needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they print it as needed, like when you get a book, it's printed as needed.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So.
What was this one? Devil Woman? Was that one?
Nah, this is Dream Woman.
Dream Woman.
Yeah. But you can't go wrong. The album is great.
Who sings? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's maybe the younger guy. Might be. Very yachty.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Let me tell you.
So I wonder if LaFlex knows of these guys. Because LaFlex, you know, he might know the guy, Sean,
maybe.
What's his name? Sean, the other guy from London. That might be interesting to know.
Oh, maybe.
So if you're listening there, LaFlex, let us know if you know the guys from Silver Fox.
Sean Lee? Maybe he knows Sean Lee.
Maybe he knows Sean Lee. I wouldn't doubt it.
All right, so folks, again, that was Young Gun, Silver Fox, and that was from the album Canyons, released in 2020. And now we're going to, this one's going to blow you away. John Anderson, does that ring a bell?
Yeah, from Yes?
Yeah. He's got a Yachty song, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called Hold On to Love. John Anderson from Yes. I'll free. Listen to this. Yeah. It's got an, I'll tell you, this guy's got a unique voice.
Yes, yes, he got that high.
Very high.
He's the owner of a lonely heart.
That's him. Yeah.
And high pitched. What album is this from? So I can look up some stats here.
Hold On to Love is a song.
Somebody's yelling at their radio right now. It's
not this place
of time or weather. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's like, I know that.
Oh.
I know the album. In the City of Angels, does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, what year is that? Jimmy Haslip on bass.
Really?
On this song, Jimmy Haslip, John Anderson, John Robinson on drums, Paul Jackson Jr. on guitar.
Wow.
Lenny Castro percussion. We forgot to mention Lenny Castro was on percussion on that John Mayer stuff in the beginning.
That's right. Remember? And so is Greg Billinghames.
Yes, so I mentioned
on the John Mayer folks.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Wow, this album definitely needs to be looked into. The next song, Mike Picaro, Jeff Picaro, Dan Huff and Mike Landau, David Page on keyboards. You got to check this album out.
We do.
Oh my God, so many people. Mark Russo. More John Robinson, Lenny Castro.
1988. Wow, Joe.
Oh, no, that's not too new.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Yachty old.
What? Unlike most of Anderson's previous solo works, this album contains many additional songwriters. Look at that. Consequently, this straight-ahead commercial pop album sounds closer to Toto album.
Yeah. See, look, written by David Page, this tune here, Top of the World, with Steve Picaro doing programming. That's got to be a Yachty-ish tune. Luke at their own guitar. Page, it's all Toto.
Yeah. There you have
it,
folks.
Check out that song, Top of the World.
I will.
Keith Freeman, David Page again, Dozier. Chinese American Castro, David Page, another one, geez. Interesting.
Did you know that John Anderson performed on the seventh one?
Oh, yes, I did know he was on the seventh.
That I don't know. We'd have to look that up. But he's definitely on. John Anderson is on the seventh one. He returned the favor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, because they were both released at the same year.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Steve Luke at the guitar, track 10.
Oh, yeah.
David Page. Dan Huff. All right, it's the usual suspects, bro.
Yeah.
Paulino da Costa. Wow.
So I'm looking here. I don't see, because he's just singing, right? He isn't playing instruments. I'm not seeing John Anderson on this.
No?
I guess he might have left them out, uncredited maybe?
Maybe it's uncredited.
How did you find out?
It's over here on, it's on Wikipedia.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm loving that one. Yeah, that's also, like I said, we're also playing that. All these songs are being played on Atlantic Coast FM, folks. You probably figured that out by now.
So as soon as we play them here, you debut them there. Right?
That's correct.
You debut them here, and they go into rotation.
And that's right. And I may cheat and start them off there first, and then we talk about it. Interesting. This album did nothing.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
The page ones if you don't have a total guy,
we're gonna check it out. Check it out, folks. This is from 1988, John Anderson, lead singer of Yes, in the City of Angels. Very cool. Very cool. Talk about a guy with a talk about a guy with a signature voice, Joe.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? All right, we're moving on. The next song is called Hold On. Not Hold On to Love, but it's Hold On. Marilyn Scott. Marilyn Scott, I think, was a... The album's called Without Warning. Look out. See, this is yachty as hell. Check that out.
It's disco yacht.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I told you, that's... Something. It's very yachty. It's got the huge... Some of these songs have stronger elements. Some have jazzier. This one definitely has more disco breaks and stuff like that.
I'm seeing Michael Cimbello. I'm seeing Russell Fulanti and Jimmy Haslip.
Yeah.
Dean Cortez. I'm seeing Nathan East.
Marilyn.
Ricky Rawson and John Robinson.
Well, look at that.
Emilio Castillo.
He's from...
And Stephen Krupa. Yeah, from Tower Power.
Tower Power.
Robin Ford. Mark Russo again. Paulina Di Costa. Doc Costa. 83. Meaty time for Michael Cimbello.
Oh, absolutely. He was writing the success of Maniac.
Yeah.
From the album.
Which was what, 81?
What was the year of that movie?
Maybe 82.
Look at that, Robin Ford.
Right here.
Robin Ford's on this too. A lot of great players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Joe, what that movie, Flashdance.
Yeah, I don't know. That had to be 82, 83. So we're right around there, swimming in that same time.
Yeah.
And Michael Cimbello, a lot of nepotism here. Oh, I see Cruz Cimbello. I see another two Cimbellos. Scott Cimbello.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Scott. Yeah, all the Cimbellos crashing the boards on these tunes. Dan Cimbello, I'm seeing Cruz. So yeah, he had everybody. It must be his production, right? There's a 7 saying. Is he the producer?
Produced for...
Yeah, it's him and Russell Ferranti.
And Marilyn Scott. Ferranti. Wow. For all of you out there that don't know, Russell Ferranti, badass keyboard player from the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, along with Jimmy Haslip, also on the
Along
album.
With Jimmy Haslip, which is also a member of the Yellow Jackets. So was Robin Ford for a while, for one album.
Right. He's on Mirage. Remember right. Mirage at all?
Sure. Absolutely.
That's when Ricky Lawson was there. Who I think is also on him drums.
Did you see
his name already?
Ricky Lawson?
Yeah, Ricky Lawson. Yeah, they had all the Yellow Jackets pretty much here.
Oh, right.
This is like
right,
what Toto
right.
used to do. This is like what Toto used to do. They got the, instead of using Toto, she used the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. Ricky Lawson passed away, right, Joe?
Possibly. Yeah, he did.
He did.
2013.
Wow.
For brain hemorrhage.
Oh, nice. That's another great right. song, folks. Yeah, great
That's
album.
Cool.
Check it out. Marilyn Scott, Without Warning, from 1983. Check it out. And that song is Hold On. Really cool. Now we're going to jump to something that I actually found this yachty song. It's from her debut album. I'm talking about Celine Dion. And it's called I'm Loving Every Moment. What an excellent. This is from her debut album. Very, very yachty song. It's probably her, I would say, I don't know if there's anything else, but I know I remember this song. I love this song. And I said it definitely had yachty elements. There it is. Celine
so this
Dion.
From her first album, you said?
From her first album. It's very yachty, man. Do you realize now, mind you, the sounds didn't change that much here. You know, she kept it pretty traditional. This is, I believe it's 1989, right, Joe?
Say, what's the name of the album?
I think it's self-titled. Called I'm Loving Every Moment.
I'm loving every moment. Oh, right, right. I remember that.
Remember this?
Sure.
Coming
through. I forgot that was her.
I love it. I'm loving every moment with him. I believe that David Foster produced this. Oh, this is from... Let's see. What did it say? It says 19...
Tom Kane.
Is the album called Unison?
Yeah, there is a double album.
The album is called Unison. And look at that. It was recorded in 89. I'm loving every moment. The album was produced by David Foster and Christopher Neal. Christopher Neal, if I'm not mistaken, produced Sheena Easton also in the 80s.
I hear some already.
Yeah. Now, mind you, look at all the singles that this had. Wow, 5 singles, but this song was not a single.
She's got plenty of albums before this one that were made in Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
Oh, when she's like a teenager.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Where Does My Heart Beat Now? What a great song. Became a top 5 hit for her. I remember that song. Oh, my God. Awesome. Great song. Hey, hey, hey. Personnel. Woo. A lot of great players. John Barnes, keyboards and clavier synthesizer. I wonder if that's the second half of Burning Barnes. David Foster, arranger and producer. Let's see. Tracks 5 and 8. Bingo. David Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great song, right, Joe?
Oh,
love it. It's great.
Yeah, this is that era that you always, that early 90s, late 80s era of the Ryo Sands, like that Robbie Neville, the Jane Child.
Yeah.
Kind of swimming in that water sound-wise, production-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's soft yacht. I don't know where it lies. I don't know what to call it. It's not quite yacht rock. But it's got the same soft yacht.
It's definitely got the elements. It's just may not
I think
be.
It's soul yacht. It's like soul yacht or something. Yeah. I don't know. We got to get a new term. These guys probably have a term for this kind of stuff.
They do.
So what's this one?
But for me, I round it off just like that. So again, that was Celine Dion, folks, on Unison. And the song is called I'm Loving Every Moment. This right now, what we're listening to, this is, believe it or not, Dr. Hook. Very yachty. It's called Body Talking. Dr. Hook from the album Rising.
I can't believe we don't know any stories about these guys having been from Union City.
Dr. Hook, yeah.
You know, some of them, one of them went into Pastore Music back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I think it was only Dennis LeCourier.
Right.
Yeah. This is very yachty, man, very. From the album Rising, the song is called Body Talking.
He was born in Union City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Must have been North Hudson Hospital. I bet you he was born in North Hudson Hospital. Remember across the street from the Dairy Queen?
Oh, yeah.
Where else are you going to be born in Union City in 1949? That was the only hospital that existed.
Wait, that was Weehawken.
Oh, yes. North Hudson Hospital was Weehawken.
Yeah.
Maybe they're mistaken, because can you think of any? I can't think of another. We should ask him. Don't you have IDs from him?
Yeah.
How do we not have him on to talk about that? He doesn't have him on for like 15 minutes.
He turned us down.
Oh, really?
I asked him, and he said at the time when I got the IDs from him, he said he wasn't doing interviews.
He had to talk about his Jersey roots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I see what you're talking about. Robert Byrne. Yeah, that didn't hurt too bad. In fact, that song is on the Robert Byrne solo album. Yeah. And Hold Me Like You Never Had Me, also Robert Byrne. Interesting. Very cool. How yachty is this, huh?
He lives in England now.
He does?
Yes. From Union City to Sussex, England.
Wow.
Why, that's quite a jump.
Quite a jump.
Union City also made famous by Debbie Harry with the Union City Blues song.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple other people.
So what do you think of this, Joe?
I like it.
Right?
Yeah, it's in there.
Big time.
Good one.
Another Yachty discovery. You heard it first on the Yacht Rock Show, folks. And this will be playing on Atlantic Coast FM. So that's pretty cool. So, Joe, yeah. we did it.
Yeah, the new format is
the new format.
Nice. I hope people aren't put off by the fact that they're not getting to hear the song, but it's kind of right. Like a backdrop to us talking about stuff. So
but
if you
want
to hear
folks,
tunes, you got to go to Atlantic Coast FM.
Right. Remember, this. We have to do this. If we don't do this, then eventually we'll get dropped from the platforms, you know, because we are not allowed to play full songs unless we do it this way, that we're talking on top of them.
We did have the loophole when we were on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, we did.
Because they were paying all the clearances for us.
We did, but once we went podcast, it's not allowed. It's not allowed.
Right, right.
And then, you know, we're getting away with it now, but now, thank God, at least we're doing the right thing. So that's what it is. So, folks, Joe, I guess we'll call it a night.
Yeah, that's it. We got a full hour out of that.
Yes, we did.
We'll see you guys next time, hopefully with an interview. What do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe there's a good chance that next week we may have an interview. And it's a very, very cool one. Well, I tell you, they've been great. But this one is another what would you say, chart topper?
Yeah, it's another piece of the pie we've been slowly building.
Oh.
That's a good way to put it, right?
Yes, that is.
We got two slices of the pie already. We need another two slices to put the pie together.
Joey.
And this is a third slice of the pie. So come back and hopefully enjoy that. I want to get Paul Carrick on, too. I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dennis LeCourie, try him again because I'd love to
try him.
His Union City roots.
Yeah, hopefully he'll come on, you know. All right.
So good night, folks.
Thank you, guys, and Joe and I will catch you on the next Yacht Rock Show. Bye now.
You've been listening to Eddie Gans on the Yacht Rock Show podcast. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week for more of your Yacht Rock favorites.